Grab your mittens because we're cooking up some hot stuff. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go hunting for it. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And listen on iTunes and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Mack Weldon. It's a premium men's essentials brand. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code CLNS at checkout. We're also powered by Little Part Media, where ideas come to life, producing corporate videos and podcasts to tell your story. For more, check out LittlePartMedia.com or contact info at LittlePartMedia.com. So the White House daily briefings, it was... In the past, at least when I was there, Jimmy,
yes.
It was called the White House Daily Briefings.
Because daily, they were daily.
Daily, exactly. And it's not to say that it was 100% of the time. Sometimes the president was on the road somewhere, so if he was on the road, then we didn't have a daily briefing. If the president was holding a news conference or some other event where he would be taking questions from reporters, we typically did not have a daily briefing. But by and large... all things were humming along as usual, we had the White House daily briefing.
Not anymore. Not in this White House.
Not anymore. And I don't know that I've been paying that close attention to it. Certainly, I didn't have my my counter, my little clicker thing going with, oh, today, let me click it off, yet another daily briefing, or not. But once I started looking back on it, I realized, wow, This is pretty whack. I don't know if that's still cool to say. That's pretty whack.
I use whack.
Do you? Yeah. But I think that kind of ages us. Like, well, the kids used to say.
Oh, what
that.
A shock that is! I embrace the age thing and the painfully unhip thing.
But I look back, and apparently in November, at least according to I believe it's Politico that was keeping track of this. In September, there was only one. Count it, one single daily briefing. Well, actually, let's say so, one single briefing. Let's forget the daily thing.
Well, no. Now it becomes a monthly briefing.
Right. There you go.
Quarterly.
Quarterly. That's right.
Yearly. I hate to say it, but we may never, the only time we may ever hear from this president again is when he walks back and forth to the helicopter or,
right.
So, or goes to New York to check in with his tower.
That's right. So, you know, one thing is we are sort of hearing more from him at these press conferences and he's mouthing off at, you know, sort of the, he's headed somewhere and someone will throw a question at him. And that's sort of the rationale behind this from the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Then three names just really throws me off. But anyway.
She throws me off. I'm sorry, but she does. I feel bad for her, by the way.
Uh-huh.
What a horrible job.
Well, I think that's probably why you're not hearing from her.
Yeah, right? I just feel bad.
It's like she constantly has to go out there and somehow spin something that was pretty obvious to all of us, but she has to come up with a different version of what actually happened.
It's challenging.
It is challenging, and I think, as some people have pointed out, that it messes with her credibility. If you believe she has credibility, it messes with her credibility by going out there and spinning for something that's clearly wrong.
Well, I think that the nature of the job responsibility alone kills your credibility.
Right.
It just does.
For anybody.
You're always, I don't care who it is. That's right.
You know, spokesperson for the Trump administration or for the Obama or whoever it is, you have to go out there and lie without lying.
Yes, and keep a straight face, which is great in poker, but not so good in front of like 100 cameras
exactly.
And, you know, the entire world on you, which is really insane. I got to go back for a second. There's actually an organization.
That was reversing, called, rewinding.
I knew exactly what you were doing.
That's back when you had tape to do
that's
that.
That's right. That's right. Politico.
Yes.
There's actually an organization that keep stats.
Oh, I know.
On the community or what goes on in the White House. Right?
I didn't know that.
No, but I mean, I really worry about this. Is there people out there counting how many tweets this guy makes
yes,
a day?
They are, yeah.
How many press briefings he makes a day? Do we also have stats on like when he, you know, combs his hair every day?
Yeah, but I think it's good. If they didn't do it, we wouldn't know.
Well,
we would be fooled into thinking it happens every day, as the daily briefings knows.
A fact-checking company makes a lot of sense, and they've probably never been busier.
I think they had to get new fact-checking machines.
That's right. They're expanding their staff.
There's actually a new industry now of the people who oil those machines they're on fire.
It's
getting
just
hot.
Crazy. But,
well,
yeah.
So she was asked about, you know, why these pretty sparse numbers, and she pointed people to an interview that she had done recently where she said, quote, I always think that if you can hear directly from the president and the press has a chance to ask the president questions directly, that's infinitely better than talking to me. Sort of true, but I think it sort of gets a twisted view as to what these briefings are about. It's not necessarily that you are going to get this message from her that isn't as important as getting a message from the president. It is having daily opportunities to at least press the administration about things that they may not consider to be important. When the president gets up and he gives a statement or he talks to the public, that's the president's line of what he wants the narrative to be that day. So that gives you more control of the narrative. On a daily basis, there might be things that reporters have dug up or that in general is in the news that you want to get reaction to. And even if they don't want to respond, Sarah Huckabee Sanders doesn't want to respond to it, you at least get on the record of putting that information out there. And, of course, all of this stays in the record forever. When you take that away, it now makes it just a one-sided kind of thing.
Just what he wants.
Exactly.
Exactly what he wants. You know, it's like, it's at the point now where he's like, I don't need the media. I have my own media. Mm-hmm. And it's called Twitter.
It's very powerful because the media reports on it.
That's right. And that's how he communicates to the masses. And it's pathetic. I will say this about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I do think no one ever questions her sanity.
Right. No.
As opposed to who she's, you know, interpreting.
Right.
Who, you know, he's the POTUS is just, he's getting worse, Dan.
Yes, but
I'm sorry. I know I try to stay at least
above the fray.
As far left as I possibly can go without falling off the edge.
Yes.
But I always try to find something.
Like there's a rope attached, and every so often it's like a fishing rod.
Because people might want me to hang on that rope.
Exactly.
Right?
So it's like a reel where you try to turn
reel
it a couple.
It
right.
This can't be happening. I keep saying to myself, this cannot be happening in the United States of America. This can't be the POTUS. He can't be the guy. Mm-hmm. And it keeps turning out that it is.
It is.
That he
it
said
is.
This. And did he really say that? And the one thing, these press briefings, as we know, because of the antagonistic
nature of it, especially in this particular CNN, Jim Acosta, right, especially a show there, or April Ryan.
That alone, the question, I don't even care what he says.
Mm-hmm.
It's the question and reaction to the question.
That's what makes it not only entertaining, but informative.
There's your reality show,
yes,
by the way.
It is.
It's like Trump versus the media.
Yes, it
Tune
is.
In tonight because here's the highlights of the day. And, you know, it's like he tweeted this at 9:32 and then, you know, the fact checkers came in and at 9:43 they said this. And I mean, it was just.
It's better than the real stuff that they make up in Hollywood.
What do you need the Daily? In other words, he's sitting back.
He is the Daily Show.
He's the Daily Show. He doesn't. We don't need a press briefing. They get plenty from me. That's what he says.
Yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't have to defend it. He doesn't have to be. Hold his feet to the fire, as it were.
No way.
Because he does light up that fire.
He lights it up.
Woo!
He blows it up, however you want to describe it.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, of course, for those of you out there who hate the press, hate the media, you probably see this as whining. And I know during the administration, the Obama administration, when we would complain, it was sort of the flip. We were having the daily briefings, but for a long time, there was this drought of seeing the president and the president going out before the microphones. And we would whine about that. And people would call us whiners. It's like, oh, you reporters, it's never enough for you. And even Robert Gibbs would say that. It doesn't matter how many times we put the president out in front of you, it's never going to be enough. And so I get it. I get that the public is listening to this and saying, you whiners, you know, if you're never satisfied. You're hearing from the president. Why do you need to hear from the briefing? Again, I think it's just a matter of having a connection to a White House where you can prod and poke and get information on a daily basis and have access to that information. And simply, I think reporters just aren't getting that.
No, they're not. And it's interesting. Some of these stats, again, Politico, we're giving them a plug here.
Yeah.
Trump has led just 4 solo press conferences in the first 18 months of his presidency. That is a smaller number than each of the 5 presidents before him. Far fewer than the 15 solo pressers that Obama had during the same amount of time and slightly below George Bush's 6 solo press conferences.
Right.
And the other thing that I love with
the tweets per day.
Matter of fact, Trumps per day. That makes a lot of sense,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, the Trumps per day.
Forget Twitter.
That's
it should
right.
just be Trumper.
I think it really is,
it,
actually.
I mean.
Oh, don't put that out there. I think he might take it over.
No,
he'll change
no.
the name of Twitter.
I think he subscribes to this, I'm sure, right? I don't think so. Just so he can blow up something. I just think that, I don't know. Look, this is not a good thing that's going on right now.
No, I don't think it is.
It is not good for the country.
It shouldn't be something that's political here. At this point, it's just sort of, you know, whatever side you're on, I don't think it's a good thing when you limit the amount of access that the free press has to information.
Right.
And this is the gathering of information, and it's one area, at least, where the door's been shut.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about the Times report. About his dad. We're not going to talk about that because therein lies another battle. There's another chapter, another edition, another episode of Trump versus the world.
Well, I think that, you know, where that does fit in is that these things make sense. And what I mean by these things, it's not having briefings sort of makes sense if you have these bombastic kinds of stories, you know, that are playing out in massive headlines and are revealing things, dark things about the past of the president. The more you expose yourself to getting questions from reporters, the more it amplifies these negative stories of the administration or the president himself. And so it makes sense to hide, right? It makes sense to stay. Let the president deal with the mudslinging. I don't want to be out there and give more sound bites or not, or pick a fight over these stories, which are not, you know, are not shining a very favorable light on the president.
Remember when you were on the beat, as it were, at the White House, and you always were looking for that exclusive soundbite.
That's
I was talking about this in my class the other day. You want to get the person you're talking to say something that they've never said before.
Exactly.
So you can say, "Hey, I got an exclusive
for the first time."
For the first time, this is what he or she said.
That's the glory for you as a reporter. Yes.
Doesn't need it anymore because he's giving you 7 to 9 tweets
a day
that are like that.
Yeah. The problem is everybody gets it at the same time.
There's no exclusivity.
Yeah, I know.
And yet, I have seen him sit down on occasion.
Oh, he makes reporters. He does. But on Twitter, the whole world gets the exclusive at the same time. He is the reporter with the exclusive information.
Do you think there's any way to counter that? What if, for a week, and I'm only going to say a week, the media decides not to report on any of the tweets that the president sends out there?
Who's going to go first?
Right, because someone's always going to break that.
Someone's going to break it, and if they break it, you go. But no, it'd be interesting. I think it would be a great experiment.
Well,
I think I'm advocating for that.
The only thing that the media, because the media controls information and sending out the information.
Right.
If the media decides to curate that information or itself, themselves, right. And again, you know, we've got the Fox versus CNN thing, so, you know, Fox is going to do it because...
Or MSNBC as well. Yep.
Right.
But I get it. Yep.
You know, and... It's all alphabet soup to me. Anyway, bottom line is that would be the only thing, because if he got no reaction from the media to his tweets,
then would he keep doing it?
Would he keep doing it?
Yeah, but a day of silence, I don't know if that
I gave a week.
Up.
I say a week.
A week of silence may not be enough. A month may not be enough. But at some point, you'd have to do it long enough. I don't think that the press
it's
could.
It's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. But it's good to dream about it.
That's what I do. I'm a dreamer.
There you go. So one other thing before we go. I saw this soundbite or this quote from Alan Lichtman, who is a political history professor at the American University, by the way, my alma mater, where I got my master's degree, and I love it over there.
Yes.
Anyway, a little plug, shameless plug. What Alan points out is that when you don't see, when you see this kind of drought, if you will, of White House briefings, he believes that, quote, it indicates an administration in crisis, right?
So, and who does he compare it to?
Nixon.
Mr. Nixon himself. And, you know, growing up, I remember his resignation speech.
Yeah. So it's,
and he's not a crook.
He believes
I am not a crook.
Ooh, that's very good.
Thank you.
That's what he's saying. It's like whenever there's the windows, they start drawing the curtains and keeping the windows closed. There's a crisis going on. Whether or not that's true, I mean, we've sort of felt that there was a crisis from the very beginning.
Since he got elected.
Right, so
that there was the largest inauguration in history,
exactly.
Or was Sean Spicer who said whatever.
And with the people going and coming and so forth. But nonetheless, this is something that, again, for those of you who like to beat up on us, it's not that innocent. There's more texture behind it, and I think we need to watch it and see how, you know, if this is a trend.
We need to watch it.
We,
like the media, is a watchdog over what goes on in administration.
If
you
like this episode and if you'd like to see more White House briefings, we'd love to hear from you. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. Have any questions or comments, reach out to us at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.